Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show, the home of militant moderation, where we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor with Breitbart News, sitting in for Alan today while he's on assignment. Please be sure to visit our website at alannathan.com for our podcasts and our showtimes. Well, the wind had Washington absorbing the FBI raid on former National Security Advisor John Bolton, who used to work for Trump as National Security Advisor in his first term, a longtime member of the Washington National Security political punditry establishment, and had a falling out with Trump, which I'll go into in a minute because I remember how and why that happened, and I think it's somewhat relevant. But he got raided for supposedly mishandling classified materials. All allegations, of course, at least. When you have someone in a situation like this, you have to say these are charges, allegations. Some of this has not been made public in detail, just kind of a general idea of what's happening here. But they're saying that he took some classified documents and mishandled them. And now I have heard I have heard a much darker theory of all this that I don't know if there's an official pronouncement about this yet, so just kind of throwing it out there, but that he did a lot worse than just mishandle a few papers, that he was actually using these papers in an improper way that could get him in a lot of trouble. And I leave it at that. I don't know. Like I said, just allegations. Maybe he'll be fine. Maybe the investigation will clear him. This is all just what's in the wind as they talk about raiding his house. And of course, mishandling classified information in Washington is nothing new. It's really annoying, honestly, and especially it irritates people who are in the military. If you have friends who are in the military, intelligence, people who work for the FBI or something like that, anybody that deals with classified material, they are always very upset when they see how political figures just cavalierly toss classified information around like it was nothing. And they, or you, or me, would go to jail for a long time if we did the things that politicians routinely do, to abuse classified documents. And this has led to a lot of tit-for-tat accusations in Washington. Of course, the earliest in the current cycle, the beginning of the current war over classified documents would probably be Hillary Clinton. Although I would say you go back to the Clinton administration and they're humdingers back then, of people that worked for the Clintons treating classified documents like nothing, stuffing them in their pants. If you want to go back to some ancient history, that would be Sandy Berger. Old school name, but let's talk recent history and, of course, Hillary Clinton and her illegal email server and how she mishandled classified information. And for people who are on the right, of course, don't like Hillary Clinton, and for people who I think are impartial, really, but knowledgeable about security classifications, Hillary Clinton was guilty as hell. And I mean, there's no reason she wasn't investigated and punished that isn't political, purely political. She got a get-out-of-jail-free card, and she still lost the election in 2016. But she absolutely should have faced the music for what she did. She not only broke classified protocols, but she obviously did it for very mendacious reasons. I mean, it was perfectly clear that she was violating security protocols to have a private server where she could conduct her business away from oversight, away from the public eye, and nobody could ever use FISA warrants or whatever to get at her materials. And then she went and destroyed it all when she got in trouble with the famous wipe, you mean like with a cloth, comment she made when she was trying to act stupid. And there's probably no doubt that this hurt her. I think everybody would agree the email scandal was a problem for her. Had other problems too. It wasn't single-handedly responsible for her losing, but it was bad stuff for her. And for people who are Democrats and Hillary partisans, they think the whole thing was a nothing burger. They're quite happy to give their leaders dispensations and exemptions from the rules that they have to abide by because they think they're superior beings and shouldn't have to follow the rules like the rest of us. And they think this was all whipped up as a political thing to get at Hillary. Well, and then you had Donald Trump getting in trouble for having classified documents in his house in a way that wasn't properly secured. And then you had Joe Biden getting in trouble for having classified materials in his house in a way that wasn't proper. And again, Joe Biden, some of that stuff was pretty crazy how careless he was with classified documents. And now here we are with John Bolton. And this charge against John Bolton is not new. There were charges circulating when he wrote his book back during the end of the first Trump administration. I think it was the last year or two of the first Trump administration. Bolton wrote a book that was extremely critical after he broke faith with Trump, and he was very critical of him. And he said some things in his book that were clearly violating some confidences there. And there were some questions raised about what materials he was using and what was he bringing home as he worked on his book. And there was a lot of trouble back then. So this is not a surprise. This is not like Trump just got up yesterday and said, you know what, I'm going to get that John Bolton and I'm going to send out the FBI. This is a long in press investigation that the raid was part of. And of course, to the media, this is all very, very different than when Trump was hassled. When Trump was in trouble and the FBI was raiding Mar-a-Lago, they could barely contain their glee. But now it's John Bolton, who is, weirdly enough, kind of an honorary member of the hard left for the moment, even though he's about as aggressive in terms of American force as you could be. And up until the day before yesterday, most left-wingers who knew who he was would have called him a war criminal and a maniac, you know, on par with the worst of the worst, on par with a Dick Cheney. In their minds, as Bolton always wanted to use military power and project American strength. That was his big thing. So they would have loathed him until now. But of course, now he's been targeted by the FBI under Trump, and he magically becomes a dashboard saint of the left, a little idol of their hatreds and fury and prosecution. Trump doesn't like him, so they do. It's just that simple. So Bolton is a hero now, and it is extremely amusing to hear people on the left suddenly developing some strange new respect for this guy when they would have probably spit in his face up until he became the target of Donald Trump's wrath. And now he's been redeemed in their eyes only as long as he's useful. Face it, he's up there in years. He's at the end of a long career. He's probably not going to reenter politics in a big way. But if he ever did, I mean, if a couple years from now, Bolton resurfaced on the scene as a big political figure, maybe even joined a left-wing administration, because he feels his home is there now. Boy, people on the hard left would just go back to hating this guy in 2 seconds flat once they started hearing what he had to say about his view of using American power around the world. So there's a really interesting exchange about Bolton over the weekend between Chuck Todd, who is no longer, I think, with NBC News. He's just a podcaster now, but he used to be with NBC News. And Greg Gutfeld, who is a Fox News host of their late night show. So Chuck Todd mourns the investigation of Bolton and says the virus killing democracy right now is this two wrongs make a right mindset, revenge over principles. And what he's clearly implying is that Trump went after Bolton with a politicized FBI investigation because Trump is mad at the Democrats going after him with politicized FBI investigations and so forth. And as a lot of people pointed out, this is in a way a fascinating admission on Chuck Todd's part as a faithful member of Democrat media for his entire life, who was a good soldier and insisted all day long that all the investigations of Trump were totally justified and totally above board. And in no way is any of this political. And here he is admitting it was political. And now he's mad at Donald Trump for fighting back the same way he was himself attacked. So that's kind of interesting right there. And Gutfeld picks up on it. So Gutfeld swings in there and he tells Chuck Todd online, the only way to prevent you and your friends from targeting the rest of us with this BS is to guarantee a cost for that behavior. That looks like revenge to you only because you don't like it. And he didn't say BS. He spelled it out, but I'm running a family show here for Alan, so I'm not going to say the word. But that was Greg Gutfeld's response. And a lot of people on the right are looking at the left's response to this and saying, this just the whole thing indicts you guys in such a big way. You're finally coming out and admitting you were just out to get Trump with politicized lawfare. And now that the shoe's on the other foot, and he's the one in power, you're all flipping out and screaming that you want new tones and new principles, and you want forgiveness for everything you did, and we have to move past all that. And why can't Donald Trump be the bigger man? And I got to tell you, on Republican circles, you know, I have long familiarity with various strains of the Republican Party I speak from here. On the Republican side, there are a lot of people who are highly susceptible to that argument, or at least they were in the past. And when somebody would say, it's time for a new tone, forget all the crappy things we did to you 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We need you to be the bigger men now and rise up and hold the principles and lead us to a new way. Republicans were complete saps for that argument for my entire life. A whole lot of them would go, yep, you're right. You're absolutely right. We're just going to be better than that now. We're just going to move forward. And then the day after that, the Democrats would punch them below the belt again and leave them doubled over on the pavement. And that's not happening anymore. That wing of the Republican Party is now very small and not very influential. And for most Republicans, for most conservatives, and I would say 99% of Donald Trump's supporters, they're not playing that game. It's payback time. And if you guys don't want this to happen anymore, you need to lay off. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back with more of the Alan Nathan Show.
Everyone's using it, but not everyone is talking about it, and that's AI in the workplace. Kelsey Warren, founder of the Seamless Coach LLC, shares why many employees say they're keeping this, along with their feelings about other technologies, to themselves, and what business and IT leaders can learn.
According to new research from Cox Business, 60% of Gen Z and millennials feel positive about the growing role of AI at work and use AI tools for everything from summarizing meetings to creative brainstorming. But about half of both groups are nervous to admit how much the role of AI technology plays in their productivity. Fear of job loss and uncertainty about companies' AI policies factor into employees' hesitancy to speak up. The survey also revealed that despite being confident in their ability to adopt new technology, nearly 70% feel overwhelmed by the number of tools they're expected to use at work.
For more information and to see the full survey, visit coxblue.com/workplace-tech-survey.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers' song Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on. And know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at Breitbart News. We've been talking about the FBI raid on John Bolton and what it portends for both the past and lawfare against Donald Trump and the future and where things go from here. And here with us to talk about it is Keith Gross, Republican senatorial candidate in Florida, an entrepreneur, a pilot, an attorney, a former state prosecutor, a member of the National Guard, and most recently author of the book Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks for having me on.
So what do you make of all this with Bolton? I know it seems almost like conventional wisdom at this point that it's some kind of political retaliation, but I see a little fire under all the smoke. I think this is a long-running investigation. I think some aspects of it predate Trump returning to the White House, and I think there's a real chance that Bolton's in some trouble here.
This investigation appears to go all the way back to the publication of John Bolton's book, where he asked for permission to publish some highly sensitive classified documents. That permission was denied by the National Security Council, and it looks like he might have shared some of that information anyway. It seems that he's being considered to have held a lot of classified information without authorization, and that's a pretty hefty crime. So I don't think this is political retaliation. I think this is enforcement of the law against a deep state actor who's undermined the Trump administration and broken the law by retaining information he did not have the right to retain.
And I think in general, there's a lot of criticism to be made of all parties, all sides, both parties, of mishandling classified documents. And we're never going to get better at doing that unless we start handing out real penalties for the people who abuse protocols and mishandle these documents.
Absolutely. Look at what happened with Joe Biden. They found that he had classified documents dating back to his time as a senator, even when he did not have the right to take those classified documents. And people like to draw a comparison here, and they say, well, Donald Trump, he stored classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Big, big difference. The difference is he was president and had unilateral declassification authority. If he said it was declassified when he took it, it was. And there's no way you can prove otherwise in a court of law if you're trying to prosecute that case. The Mar-a-Lago raid was definitely political. The John Bolton raid, that's just good law enforcement.
Now, I remember when Hillary Clinton got in trouble, there were a lot of her defenders trying to say that some of these documents were technically classified, but there was overclassification, and they really shouldn't have been, and some of it was innocuous. And that very point was brought up, that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, did not have the authority to declare things classified or unclassified. The president does, but the Secretary of State can't just unilaterally say, ha, this shouldn't be classified, and I'm not going to treat it as such.
That's exactly true. And the reality is we'll never know because she did a really thorough job of destroying the evidence, which is a standalone crime itself. And it's interesting and infuriating to see that Biden wasn't prosecuted for taking classified documents he didn't have the right to take. Hillary Clinton wasn't prosecuted for doing the same thing or prosecuted for destroying evidence. And now people think it's somehow improper political retaliation that John Bolton is apparently about to be prosecuted for doing exactly that. We should be happy that the Trump administration is enforcing the law instead of allowing these people to get away with undermining our national security like the Democrats have been doing for years.
Now, Bolton used to be somewhat more respected, I'd say, in conservative circles across the board as a hawkish but forceful spokesman for American strength and projecting American military power. He was part of that first Trump administration, and he and Trump parted company very explosively while he was working for him. And I remember one of the first things that I saw turn Bolton sour on Trump was Trump leaning on NATO and saying they weren't paying enough for their own defense, they weren't contributing enough, and he was maybe going to stop putting in money if they didn't start matching the funds. Bolton was just beside himself at that. He was a guest on the Breitbart News radio show right after that, and he was just spitting nails that Trump would say that. And it seems like that's what drove their breakup, was Bolton's sense of regard for NATO that Trump didn't seem to share. But I would say the history of the last few years has thoroughly vindicated Trump on that point.
Not only has Donald Trump been vindicated, the real issue with someone like John Bolton, and he's not alone in this regard. There's a lot of deep state actors that are the same way. They think they're so smart and so important that their will is more important than the will of the duly elected president. They've forgotten their place, that they serve at the pleasure of the president, and that they should follow that president's orders and not get their panties in a twist when he doesn't do it their way.
I am reminded of the Trump impeachment trial from back in his first term, and you had people at the State Department saying that he was violating our foreign policy and jeopardizing our foreign policy. And for people like me, the double take, what do you mean your foreign policy? He's the president. And I get that distinct sense from Bolton, too, that he thinks there's an establishment or a power out there that transcends the presidency that Trump shouldn't be messing with.
And I think he might be right. That's exactly what Trump's at battle with right now, is this entrenched power, the deep state, as we keep calling it. We've had people like John Bolton dragging our country into expensive conflicts we had no business in for basically my whole adult life. The Bush-Cheney era, with John Bolton helping call the shots and drag us into a conflict where they could sell $600 sheets of plywood via Halliburton, that conflict was so repugnant to me back then that it made me want to vote for Democrats. I mean, folks like John Bolton have undermined conservative values in this country. They've not helped it. And fortunately, Donald Trump's putting everything back together, putting our country back on an America first trajectory and restoring the conservative movement so we can save this republic.
A lot of conservatism has had a hard time digesting the war on terror and the aftermath of 9/11, the invasion of Afghanistan. There was a sense going in that we needed to be strong, that we were powerful and strong enough that we could move in places like Afghanistan or Iraq and fix these countries, that we could win a strategic war against the enemy of terrorism. And now it's much more common to see people that are Republicans, especially the people that are fans of President Trump's that support him, that are just thoroughly disgusted with the invasions in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they say the lesson is we should never do anything like that again.
No, the American military is by far the strongest, best military on the planet, but we don't need to be squandering those resources playing policeman for the rest of the world or trying to occupy other nations. If someone comes to harm our country, they should experience the full force of the American military, but we should not go into conflicts that we can avoid. We should use our military to protect America, not everyone else.
I would think the third conflict that should have taught us that, that we don't talk about nearly enough, is Obama's invasion of Libya. That was Obama and Clinton that were behind that, Hillary Clinton. And that was an unbelievable disaster that destabilized the entire region. It's unleashed terrorist forces, the rise of ISIS. To this day, Libya is a war-infested swamp. You know, the invasion of Libya was an unmitigated disaster that culminated in Benghazi. But Obama and Clinton got away with that because the media held them accountable for Benghazi. And we don't talk about that as the same kind of disaster as Afghanistan and Iraq, but we should.
We definitely should. We don't talk about a lot of the things that America has done wrong, and it's okay to acknowledge where we could have done better. That's not the same as not loving our country. If you love your country, you should figure out how to keep your countrymen alive, and that means finding ways to stay out of conflicts that we have no business getting into.
Now, I see a lot of people on both sides are saying that the real lesson here is lawfare, and will this be the end of it? Or now, if Trump does this to Bolton, then the Democrats are going to do it to him again, and if there's another Democrat president, it'll escalate. And the call goes out for Trump to just back away and defuse these lawfare investigations. And a lot of conservatives say, no dice, you guys started this, and we're not going to back down just because you don't like the way it's going right now.
Yeah, there were dozens of Trump officials, including Donald Trump himself, arrested on trumped-up charges that had no real basis in law or fact under the Democrats, that they're now crying uncle and saying, don't do it to us, even though they've been breaking the law, committing mortgage fraud and more. I think they need to be prosecuted. No one's above the law, right?
Absolutely. That's what they told us the day before yesterday. Let's find out if they still believe it. Keith Gross, Republican senatorial candidate in Florida and author of Dirt Roads to Runways, Defend American Dream for the Next Generation. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, Let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes, an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor with Breitbart News. The battle over redistricting is heating up nationwide after Texas Republicans announced their redistricting plan and moved on that. Gavin Newsom, Governor of California, and some other Democrat governors began saying they would redistrict the last Republican seats in their states out of existence. to retaliate, and some Republican governors are now beginning to talk about redistricting plans, and experts and analysts looking at the map are beginning to murmur, and I'm talking mainstream media people here, that the Democrats have picked a fight they're going to lose. Here with us to talk about it is John Gordon, national political analyst, host of the syndicated radio show, The Truth with John Gordon. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
I really look at that map and these analysts I'm listening to, and they're saying, you know, when the dust settles from this, the Democrats have a lot more to lose than Republicans do if the whole country turns into a two-fisted fight over partisan redistricting. The Democrats have been heavily dependent on gerrymandering for a lot longer than Republicans have. They made it into an art form, and there are a lot more Democrat seats that Republicans in their states can erase than vice versa, because most blue states are already pretty homogeneously Democrat.
I think you make an excellent point, and I'm just delighted to see that Republicans are starting to show up for the gunfight with a gun rather than a pocket knife. And the Democrats, especially Gavin Newsom, has this pesky little problem that they have to deal with. Election laws and rules are determined largely by the states. State law determines how elections are conducted. California limits redistricting to once per census. That should be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, could be some court challenges there. Could also be a very negative backlash on Republicans in California, because there's a lot of them. And right now, they've kind of gotten used to being second-class citizens in their own states because of the way it's politically aligned. But if Newsom just basically legislates them out of existence in a partisan power play, that's going to infuriate and energize Republicans both in California and across the country in a way that I really don't think Democrats are over Texas. I don't see that getting a lot of traction with rank-and-file Democrats. It's a political issue. But if Newsom tries to get rid of Democrats, Maryland is talking about Republicans. Maryland's talking about getting rid of the only Republican seat they have to pitch into the fight. That is just going to infuriate Republicans nationwide.
Well, the Democrats have one thing going for them, and that is that they are grossly inept. And I don't want to change that. Everything they do has backfired on them, from beginning when they indicted Donald Trump on absurd charges to replacing Joe Biden as the nominee for their party and installing Kamala Harris. So we kind of want Democrats to continue to behave as Democrats do. And I think the American people are tired of the lies and being played. And I think that those actions are going to hurt them, as they have in the and did in the 2020 or 2024 election.
Now, probably not in the short term, really, but in the longer term, this could all lead to a big public backlash against gerrymandering. And you have to admit, if you look at some of these district maps, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, they were obviously drawn to ensure safe seats for certain people, some of them for racial reasons as a response to racism in the 60s and so on. People are going to start maybe thinking that all of this gerrymandering is just silly and it shouldn't be done at all. And if that's the way the public rolls in, let's say, 4 years or in time for the next census, it's doomsday for the Democrats. I mean, they'll cease to function as a national party if the public turns against gerrymandering entirely.
It appears to me we're headed in that direction. I think you're spot on. And remember, there are guardrails in place for what is permissible and what is not in gerrymandering cases. So the Democrats can't, in these blue states, go in and wield their hand without conforming to the current federal law and the case law, unless they want to end up in court. And as you stated early on, that's probably where a lot of this will end up.
I also have seen some suggestions that one reason the Democrats went so crazy over Texas and what the Republicans were doing there is that they're looking at the next census coming up and thinking it's going to be apocalyptic for them, because the next census is going to show a lot of movements out of blue states into red states, which is going to hurt them. And if illegal aliens are no longer counted in the census, as seems to be likely where we're heading, that's going to be a really tough census for the Democrats.
That's what they're upset about. Their little game of bringing in 10, 12, however many illegal aliens came in over the last 4 years, thinking that they were going to figure out a way to allow those people to vote, is not panning out the way they had planned. And talk about backfiring. If there's one issue the American people are in agreement on, it is that the illegals have to leave the United States. And that's what is happening. And so the Democrats, I don't know what to call it. It really, to me, is beyond the pale to bring illegal people into our country and then illegally try and register them to vote. It flies in the face of the Constitution. It flies in the face of federal and state law. It flies in the face of common sense and respect for the law and your fellow man.
It feels to me like, especially after the 2020 election and the pandemic, that people are more sensitive than ever to the concept of rigged elections, of shenanigans going on to stuff the ballot boxes and basically force elections to go a certain way. And a lot of the allegations that were raised in 2020 were not backed up and it didn't pan out. But people still had that sense that that was a crazy election where a lot of stuff went wrong, a lot of things were done that shouldn't have been done. And here we are 4 or 5 years later. And people are waking up to the way the census is being manipulated. It's being rigged with legal aliens. There's a growing sense among regular voters that democracy itself has been manhandled, and we need to go back to something more like a clean, fair election system to get back on track.
Well, if we're going to have a democracy or a republic, it is essential that we have our franchise and that each person not be deprived of their franchise. Otherwise, you have nothing better than a third world country. But if you watch what is playing out in Washington right now in real time, I think it is some of the most exciting, among the most exciting developments I've seen so far. Donald Trump promised us in Trump 1.0 that he was going to drain the swamp. The problem was he did not realize how deep and wide the swamp ran. And the resistance that he encountered was overwhelming. I think 2020 was a reflection of that. Now, Donald Trump had 4 years to think, to strategize, to look, pull the rug out, look in the corners. He is systematically, I believe, going after deconstructing the deep state. Chapter one, I believe, is Russia, Russia, Russia. Tulsi Gabbard courageously revealed that Obama, Clinton, Clapper, Comey, and Brennan conspired knowingly and willfully to deprive America of a democratically elected president. It was an attempted coup. That is illegal. It is repulsive. And I think that they are going to have to pay for their actions. I predict that chapter two will be revelations regarding the 2020 elections. Some very interesting things are underway in Georgia right now as we speak. I think a lot of truth saying is going to come out over the next couple of weeks. I think the American people are going to be appalled at what they learn. And I think that that the third chapter will be revelations about what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. I think the American people will be so appalled and shocked by what they learn that the deep state will be a thing of the past and that we can get back to a country that is a country run by laws and the Constitution and ethics and morality. I am optimistic that that's what we're watching being played out in real time.
There's been a lot of ink spilled about the Texas Republican redistricting plan, but I don't think I've seen a single mainstream media account in maybe the past month or so that mentioned the whole reason it started was because of a lawsuit. It wasn't just the governor and the Texas Republicans getting up one day and saying, hey, let's redraw them. It'll be fun. There's a reason why they did it. I'll give you the last word on that. Is the media still refusing to inform us properly, and are people tired of that?
I think you're referring to the obsolete mainstream media. Most people are getting their news from people like you, John, and the Alan Nathan Show. And so let them continue to dig their own graves as well.
Well, let us bear that burden with as much solemn responsibility as we can, all of us together. John Gordon, national political analyst and host of the syndicated radio show, The Truth with John Gordon. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new prickly pear raspberry water fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News. Lee Zeldin, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, says that the agency is going to roll back a pivotal 2009 finding against carbon emissions that has been irrationally abused, in the words of the trucking industry, against truckers, against fuel, and against gas-powered vehicles in a way that has added tremendous costs to shipping almost anything across the United States. And the trucking industry is saying a new flourishing of the industry and of supply and retail could follow from repealing this EPA regulation. Here with us to talk about it is Mike Kucharski, co-owner and vice president of JKC Trucking, the largest refrigerated trucking company based out of Chicago. Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show.
John, thank you for having me on the show again.
Now, I know we've talked before about how the EPA was pretty obviously trying to force everybody to buy electric vehicles, including freight and cargo services, to start using electric trucks, and they just don't work. It's increasingly obvious that that's never going to happen. And so what Zeldin is talking about doing is rolling back a finding that made all of that possible by classifying carbon itself as a threat to the atmosphere and human life.
No, I agree. So we are overregulated in the trucking industry. And my question is, if the law doesn't work or makes it worse, should we go back and change it? You know, and that's what the federal government plans to roll back, this 15 plus years of vehicle emission rules. And why? You know, let me share you something I got from the Landline Media article from a couple of last week. It says supporters of the rollback, including trucking industry groups and conservative policy organizations, argue that the 2009 finding was based on flawed or outdated science, imposed unnecessary economic burdens, estimated at over $1 trillion, that's with the T, across related regulations, an overreach federal authority by treating the CO2 as a pollutant without sufficient evidence of direct harm. You know, I was always taught that diesel vapors are less, harmful than gasoline. You know, let me give you an example. If we put a truck into a garage and fill it up with diesel vapors, we could still breathe. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yes. If we put a car in there and fill it up with gasoline vapors, we're not going to be alive. So it's very questionable why they're attacking the diesel industry. And then let me get into this $1 trillion. What does it cost? Right now, let's say me and you, John, jump in a truck and we're driving. And our truck, we have an issue with our DPF system, the system that they put in the trucks to catch all the exhaust. We get derated to 5 miles an hour. Let's say we're on the 405. We get derated 5 miles an hour. We're stuck in traffic. We could barely get over to the shoulder. And then, you know, that puts us in danger, puts other drivers in danger. And let's say, God forbid, we get to the shoulder. Then we can only go 5 miles an hour to the next available shop. Let's say the next shop's 15 miles away. We're going to be 3 hours in the truck going 5 miles an hour. And that's just dangerous. You know, this was never thought out. There's no override button for this, which always made me very frustrated. And especially when haulers like ourselves, we're hauling food, you know what I mean? We're hauling perishables. Time is of the essence. Time is money. You know, we cannot be wasting time on this. And I very support this. And there's other, you know, groups, WIDA, everybody's supporting this. I think this is the right way to go because it's not working. If it's not working, we got to change it.
Well, one of the reasons the EPA moved the way it did in 2009 was that environmentalists were mad that every time they would come up with clean air standards, the industries would meet them. You know, the trucking companies, the trucking industry would meet whatever challenge was laid before them, new technologies, new fuels, new policies. And the environmentalists were saying, no, we want to get rid of the internal combustion engine. So the only way to do that is to make CO2 itself become a toxic substance. And at that point, there's no way you can have internal combustion without CO2 emissions.
I mean, I want world peace too, but that's not going to happen. And that's just almost impossible. You know, this EV truck mandate is based on brand new technology. I support green energy, but it's extremely frustrating because I don't agree with the EPA because banning diesel is impractical and impossible. Let me give you an example. Why haven't we moved away from diesel? Because we haven't found another fuel that works as good as diesel. Diesel is used for torque. And to pull all this product, this heavy loads that we haul, we need diesel for this torque. And not only we're using it for the tractors, we're using it for the refrigeration unit on the front of the trailer to cool and to heat produce, product, etc. You know, I mean, we haven't moved this. I mean, moving straight to an EV truck is going to be catastrophic. Look, there's five things. Costs are astronomical. Infrastructure, it's not ready. Let's talk about California. 600,000 trucks in California, if I had a guess, and then all overnight, they're going to turn to electric. Where's California getting the power to, you know, recharge these trucks? Testing and data is being done right now. Driving range, I love to call it range anxiety, is ridiculous because it doesn't work for long-distance truck driving. The max they got off an electric truck was 200, 300 miles. My drivers are making 500 to 700 miles a day. You know, when they fuel, they can make almost 1,000 miles without refueling, you know. So if we move to a new technology, it has to be better than what we have, you know. Truckers need an affordable hybrid truck with two systems of power. If one shuts down or breaks, the other one continues. Truckers need proven technology. Because if the technology fails, the entire supply chain will be dead in the water.
There's a big story going around today, I don't know if you've seen it, about electric school buses and how the Biden administration had this fantastically expensive plan to buy electric school buses from a Canadian company and push them into schools, and the whole thing is just belly up. They were a disaster, they don't work, they're unsafe, and now the whole thing is getting scuttled, and all the school districts are going back to diesel-powered school buses.
Yeah, see, if something's not broken, why change it, you know? And look, Tesla is making electric trucks. Nikola was making a hybrid truck, which I supported, and I actually had, you know, a down payment. It was supposed to be a hybrid truck that ran on hydrogen and electricity. And that technology, that company's belly up, they're not even making it. It was a hybrid truck, a great idea to move this technology forward, and that didn't make it through. So, you know, fully electric is not the solution. We need to, unless we come up with some super alien technology from the Terminator movie, that we could charge a truck in half hour and make 1,300 miles through any given weather, it's not going to work.
Yeah, there seems like there's a missing piece of the puzzle or two. And I know that people like Elon Musk and the engineers at Tesla, they say that if we don't push for this stuff today, we're never going to make those breakthroughs tomorrow that will make it work. But in the meantime, when you're looking at something as important as getting kids to school or delivering food in refrigerated trucks, you need, as you said, reliable, proven technology. You just don't have any room to fiddle around with something that doesn't work all the time.
Correct. If we move to something newer, it should be better than what we have currently. And electric trucks is currently, the technology is not there. So we can't move because it's not ready. It's actually worse.
Well, and another thing that was pushing us towards electric cars at the time the EPA moved in 2009 was rising fuel costs. Gasoline was getting really expensive. It seemed a little more plausible to say, let's use electric vehicles and it'll save money. But now gasoline is getting more inexpensive, more abundant. We still have resources we haven't tapped into. And it seems like we should be pushing more for a fuel revolution than an engine revolution right now. I'll give you the last word.
Hey, I want to make America energy independent again. I support it.
That's a great agenda because, boy, energy is baked into everything. And when energy gets more expensive, everything gets more expensive, and nobody likes that. Mike Kucharski, co-owner and vice president of JKC Trucking, thanks very much for joining us. I'm John Hayward, deputy national security editor for Breitbart News, sitting in for Alan today. Thanks for joining us on this hour of the Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.